Turning your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. It's a powerful letter. It's written to correct a distorted message which they had gotten both of salvation and Christian life. Paul had gone there and given them the right message, and a group called the Judaizers had come in and changed things. And Paul sets forth in his book clearly that salvation is by faith and not works, and that the Christian life is a walk of faith and not by rules of law or legalism. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see several things. Let me show you this. We're going to look at how Paul deals with this problem that the Galatians, and this is this morning, that the Galatians have put themselves under a works system. And Christians do that, and we'll talk more about it in just a minute. And then what we'll see next time is how Paul reminds them of their relationship with him, their past and their present and their future, and their so much there. And as we continue to see great truths from the Bible today, just remember that he's going to focus first on this problem. And so many people do the same thing. There are some people who say, well, you have to be good to go to heaven, so you try to do good works. That's a problem, because you can't be saved by your works. You're saved by faith. There are those who trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and then think that they live the Christian life by rules, laws, and legalism. In fact, they're even said that if you don't do certain things, it either proves you weren't saved or you lose your salvation. And so we see that happening a lot. So this morning, as we look at our passage, we're going to talk about these things and these issues as we go through it. What does it mean to be born again? It's a term that Christians use. It's a term that Jesus used with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And we know that that means the idea that when a person puts their faith in Christ, they're born spiritually. You know, to be born again is the Greek word actually means again or above. When you say you must be born again, you could say you must be born from above. It literally has an idea of being born a second time. When you think about it, our first birth is physical. We're born physically as we come into this world. We're dead spiritually, and when we trust in Jesus Christ, we're born spiritually. So that's the second birth, has to be born again. This morning, as we go through our section of Galatians, we want to think about some changes that happen, some things that happen. In fact, what we're going to do is this. As we look at our passage, we're going to talk about what we were like before salvation. And then what are we like after we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior? So there's a lot. Even though there's four verses, and we can go through them very quickly, I just want you to see how this fits together. Let's remind ourselves again about the letter. Paul is writing to these churches in Galatia. He established them on his first missionary journey. He led people to Christ, and they were growing. And after he left and went back to a place called Antioch, a group came in called Judaizers. And the Judaizers, they were actually people who believed that you must keep the Mosaic law in order to be saved. And that's today you find people who say you must do good works to be saved. You must, you know, get baptized, join a church, do this, do this. There are people like that today. They came in and told the Galatians that it wasn't just faith in Christ, it was the Mosaic law, and they needed to keep the law system. And then after they tried to keep the law system, their whole Christian life, so to speak, was a law system. And so they introduced them to a system of works, both for salvation and Christian life. When Paul heard that, he was very upset. You can tell from the very beginning of the letter when he writes and says that he's amazed that they moved away from the truth and that he's upset. And he says that anybody that preaches a gospel that is contrary to what he preached, they should be accursed. That's what he said. It's that strong. Sometimes we as Christians don't get upset when we hear an unclear or a false gospel. We don't get upset. We act like, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of people having eternal life or not having eternal life. It's a matter of whether people think it's going to be works or something they do to get them to heaven, or is it faith alone in Christ for salvation? We need to be as clear as we can possibly be when we talk about the message of salvation and the message of the Christian life. So Paul is writing to help correct this distorted message that these people have got. In chapter 3, he gave six proofs, six reasons we saw that on that salvation was simply by faith. When we moved to chapter 4, we called it a swing chapter because he's still talking about salvation by faith, but he's going to now get into the Christian life, and he's going to talk about how do you live the Christian life. And in chapters 5 and 6, he really goes into the details on the Christian life. And by the way, the Christian life is lived in the same way that you're saved. You're saved by grace through faith. You live the Christian life as a walk of faith. And we'll talk more about that as we get further into the book and then the passage. Last time, Paul gave an illustration to them to help them understand that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you become a child of God and you should live like a child of God. He used the illustration of a minor son becoming a full-grown son. And in that culture, when you were a boy, you were considered a minor, almost like a slave. And then at a certain time, whether it was 12 years old or a little bit older, the father would come in and declare his son a full-grown son. And then the slaves in the household couldn't boss him around. He was now a full-grown son. The same is true for us. Before we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, we were like slaves. We were slaves of sin. We were dead in trespasses and sin. The moment we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, as we see in the book of Galatians, we become full-grown sons of God. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Look, therefore, you're no longer a slave. That's what you were like before you trusted Christ. But you're now a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So he made that point last time and said, by the way, if you're a child of God, don't go back to a law system. If you go back to a law system, you're living like a slave rather than a son. That was his point. And what we're going to see this morning, and it's truth. It's true for the Galatians, but it was true all over the time. It's true now. Here's what happens. The Galatians have put themselves under works. They've gone back under law. They've gone back all these rules and legalism. They're living like a minor, not a full-grown son. And they're sons of God, but they're living like slaves. They're living like they lived before they were saved. You may not realize that, but there are Christians who do this. They'll trust in Christ, and then they'll put themselves under a burden legalistic system. Now, let me give you the outline of what we're going to look at this morning, just verses 8 through 11. He's going to talk about before salvation. He's going to talk about after salvation, how they put themselves under the works. And he talks about his concern for their lives. And we're going to see that Paul loves these people, and he wants them to grow. So Paul reminds the Galatians of what they've done. They are children of God, but they're living under a system of works and legalism. They're living like slaves. I brought this out a while ago, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it about two more times before we're through, that there are many Christians who people trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, and they have eternal life, and then they put themselves under some kind of law system, some kind of legalism system, some kind of work system. You've heard people say things like this: okay, you're a Christian, if you don't live right and produce fruit, it just what? Proves you're not a Christian. You've put yourself under a legal system to try to see if you're a Christian. There are other people who'll say things like this: okay, you say you're a Christian, but if you don't live right, you lose your salvation. We see that today. There are denominations that teach if you don't live right, you lose your salvation. There are groups that teach if you don't live right, you never were saved. If you put yourself under any kind of legalistic law system to try to prove your salvation, you will never know that you're a Christian because you can't prove it that way. We go back to the fact that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Let me ask you a couple of questions. How many works do you need to do to prove that you're saved? And for how long? How much? What about you say, I'm looking at my life right now and I'm doing pretty good. Okay, are you saved? Well, I think I am now according to that system. What about 5 years from now? How are you going to be living 5 years from now? You don't know, so there's no way you can know. And that's a system that is self-defeating. So we'll talk about it as we go through. Let's talk about what Paul does. He reminds them of what they were like before salvation. Look at verse 8. He says, however, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. Now, he says, Galatians, before you knew God, you were under a system of works and laws and rituals and everything else, and you were slaves to that. You were dead in trespasses and sins. So here's a question then. What are people like before salvation? I want you to think about this. The Bible tells us that people come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. That means we're spiritually dead. We cannot understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. Now, I want you to see something that you may not have seen. If you've ever been in a 2-2 class that I've taught, or maybe a 4-12 class that we've taught, something like that, you've seen this before. But I want you to see what people are like. Let's talk about an unbeliever. What is an unbeliever like? Well, first of all, I want you to see this. An unbeliever has a body. Unbeliever has a soul, unbeliever has a conscience, and unbeliever has a flesh. And let me explain to those what they are. Of course, you know what the body is. The body is a physical body. People are born into this world with physical bodies, and we have these bodies. But an unbeliever also has a soul. A soul is the Greek word psuche. We get psyche from it. It's the part that relates to the world around us. It's where you have a mind and have an emotion and will. And people come into this world with a soul, and we can relate to each other. Now, this soul cannot relate to God. Let me show you something else. We have a conscience which tells us right from wrong. You remember when Adam sinned and they ate the fruit? God came to them and said, now that you know right from wrong. What was the tree called? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After the fall, human beings know right from wrong. It's written inside. In fact, Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, the law is written in our hearts. There is a concept inside of every human being that we know certain things are right and certain things are wrong. You can do things wrong long enough that doesn't even bother you anymore, but you have a conscience. The last thing that we have is the flesh. It is the natural bent to sin. You may not want to say this, and you may not want to think this, but every human being coming to this world has a bent to sin, natural. We do not have to teach children to do wrong. We have to teach children to do right. We naturally do wrong. There's a pull inside of every human being that pulls us to do wrong. Paul says that the flesh, we call it the flesh, is enmity against God, which means it is an enemy of God and never seeks to do right. Never seeks to do right. In Romans chapter 7, verse 21, this is a tough statement, but Paul says this. He says, I find the principle that in me, there is evil dwelling in me. That evil is called the flesh. It causes you to sin. It causes you to go contrary to God. That's what it is. So the unbelievers come into this world and they have a body and a soul and a conscience and a flesh. And the flesh never gets better, by the way. The flesh is going to always be that way. Now, listen to what he says. However, at that time when you did not know God, this is what you were slaves to those that were by nature no gods. They were slaves, slaves to sin, slaves under the power of sin and death, slaves under the law of works and rituals and everything else, because you can't please God by your works. The righteousness of man, Isaiah 64, 6 says what? The righteousness of man is filthy rags. If you tried to approach God and say, I'm going to come to God by doing good, you're bringing to God filthy rags. God is never satisfied by our works. He's satisfied by faith in Christ who died and rose again for us. So we just want you to understand that. This is what an unbeliever is like. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3 says that, verses 1, 2, and 3 says that before we trusted in Christ, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to the world, we walked according to the devil, and we walked according to the flesh. That's how we lived. So before salvation, if you thought you could please God, you could not. What happened? Verse 9. But now you have come to know God, or rather be known by God. Now, he says this, now you come to know God. That you've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. The only way to get to God and to know God is through Jesus Christ. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said in John 1, 18, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, Jesus Christ himself, has revealed him, has made him known. We know God through Jesus Christ. Jesus left the glories of heaven, became a human being, died on the cross, paid for our sins, rose again, gives us life and an eternal relationship with God by faith. So I want you to understand that. So we were dead. Guess what? We're alive. We were in darkness. We're now in light. We were children of the devil. We're now sons of God. That's who we are. Now I want you to understand something. Let me show you this. Let's talk about a believer. What's a believer like? Well, first of all, a believer, you trust Jesus Christ as Savior. You still got a body holding everything together. You still got a soul which relates to the world around you. You still have a conscience which actually tells you right from wrong. And you still have a flesh which is a natural bent to sin. But something happens. The moment you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're born alive spiritually. I just put it up here. I call it a human spirit. You were dead, now you're alive. You were dead in trespasses and sins, now you're made alive spiritually. And the human spirit, the part of you that is now alive, is the part that can know and understand God. You now have a capacity to know and understand God. The flesh could never understand it. The conscience, the soul cannot. But you do now because you are born again. You are made spiritually alive. It's called regeneration. God makes you alive on the inside. That's the human spirit. Now, at exactly the same time that you put your faith in Christ and you're made alive spiritually, God sends the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. You're a totally different person. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Now you're alive in Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. In fact, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That's who you are. That's who you are. And it's very powerful. And so Paul says, but now you've come to know God, or rather be known by God. And that's how he says it. He says, not only have you come to know God, but now God knows you because God calls you his child, his son. He's adopted you as a full-grown son. Now that you're saved and become a child of God, what you've done is that, oh, I'm sorry, that's the human spirit. That's a part of us. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God living inside of us. We've now gone from slavery, law, death, to freedom, grace, and life. That's who we are. Every one of you in this room, you're different. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're no longer dead, you're alive. You now have a capacity to know and understand God because you're spiritually alive. You now have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside you that you can live righteously and godly in a fallen world. He says, but now that you've come to know God, or be rather be known by God, then he raises this question. How is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? He says, why in the world would you as a Christian go back under a law system which you were under before you were saved? And that's a question for every one of you in this room. You have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. You may have thought like I did that trying to live a good life or be good would get you to God. And I was under that system of law and legalism and works, trying to please God through my works. And when I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, I became a new creation in Christ. And I became a new person and the Holy Spirit is living inside of me. Now, do I want to go back under a law system and try to do good works to keep myself saved or to prove that I'm saved? Or do I want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? And the Galatians, because of what those Judaizers told them, they said, well, you can say you're saved, but you better get under this law system. You better keep all these rules. And if you do, maybe you're saved. And if you don't, you're probably not saved. And this confused them. And Paul says, I don't understand this. You know the truth. You know how you died and rose again with Christ. You know you're a new creation. Now that you've been known by God and you know God, why in the world would you put yourself under this system? Why would you do it? Why would you do it? The law can't save you. It shows your sin. The law actually enslaves you and puts you into bondage. Look at this. We're children of God. Remember the verses I read earlier? You're sons of God. You can call God Abba, Father. You're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir. So why in the world would you do that? I talk to people every day that believe that you can be saved by faith in Christ, but if you don't do good works, you're not saved. So what they're really saying is, I think I'm saved by faith in Christ, but if I don't do the good works, I'm not saved. So it's not faith in Christ that saves them. It's their what? It's their good works. And they put themselves under a law system, a legalistic system. You've seen families, you've seen people that are under legalistic systems. I'll tell the story. I'm going to tell it probably in a couple of weeks, but legalistic systems drive me crazy because we're not under that. We're under grace. When I was coaching at Mississippi State, I had a friend that lived somewhere in Missouri. I can't remember where it was because I was in Mississippi. And he said, why don't you drive over and visit me? And so I drove over and visited him. He said, and he was a Christian. He was a good friend of mine. He said, you got to see this church. I said, what do you mean? He said, there's this little church about a mile from my house. I went to visit it one day. He said, you won't believe it. I said, okay, what? So we got in the car and we drove to the church. We got out. It was like a Saturday and the doors were open. A lot of churches now aren't open. It's back in those days, everything was open. Now you have to lock everything because they'll steal everything. But anyway, so the doors were open, and we walked in the front doors of the church. There was that little foyer, and then there was another door to go into the auditorium. And above the door, it said, our covenant. And it said, we in this church have agreed we will not smoke, drink, dance, cards, movies, improper clothes. And they listed 30 or 40 things that's what signified their church. That's law and legalism. Guess what? Everybody that puts themselves under that's going to sin up a storm. You're going to feel frustrated. You are a child of God and you've put yourself under a law system. The Christian life isn't all the don'ts. The Christian life is a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. That's what it is. Law can't save. You're a child of God. I love this quote. Warren Wiersbe says this, they have dropped from the school of grace and enrolled in the kindergarten of law. And it's true. Because the kindergarten of law is, see, what do you have to do with little ones? No, don't do that. Don't do that. You can't do that. Can't do that. Go sit down. Sit down. Do this. That's when you're in kindergarten. They line you up and you have to do everything, right? But when you're a mature son, you're in grace. And they put themselves under the law system. He says, do you desire to be under law? And then look at verse 10, because he talks about what they're doing. He says, you've observed days and months and years and seasons and years. And see, that's what they did. They put themselves under the law system, the Mosaic law system, that said you better keep a certain day, Saturday. First day of the week, Sunday. Last day of the week, Saturday. You're supposed to work 6 days, rest seventh. That's what the law said. So they worked Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they rested on the Sabbath day. Okay, they put themselves under that. Then they put themselves under a month, because at the first of every month, they had a new moon feast. Sometimes it was one day, sometimes it was a due day. You had to, 2 days, you had to do a special thing. Under the Mosaic law, there are all the feasts. The feasts like Passover and first fruits and the tabernacles and everything you could, that Day of Atonement. There were all these feast days they had to keep. They said, you better keep those. If you don't keep those, you're not saved. And then the years. You know, that you're supposed to work 6 years and then rest on that seventh year. If you're a farmer, you were supposed to do crops for 6 years, and in the seventh year, you weren't supposed to do anything at all. That's if you're under the Mosaic law. And then you get to the year of Jubilee, and that means on the 49th and 50th year, you don't do anything for 2 years. That's law. Paul says, I'm amazed at you. You have observed days and months and seasons and years. He said, you're doing what the law says. They've done just what the Judaizers wanted them to do. They've come under the Mosaic law, which is a works legalistic system for a Christian. Listen, I have people come up to me. There's a person in this town that once told me that the Christian life is obeying the Mosaic law. I said, 613 commandments. He went, well, not all of them. I said, well, wait a minute. What do you mean not all of them? Which ones? Well, not the ones about clothes. I said, okay, not the ones about clothes. What about feast days? Well, some of the feast days. I said, wait a minute. You're going to put yourself under the law? You're either under all the law or none of the law. See, because some people actually think Christian life is Mosaic law. The Judaizers told the Galatians that. Same today. People tell you, well, you can say you're saved, but if you're not doing the following things, you're not a Christian. I get that all the time. I get that all the time. Look what Paul says in verse 11. I fear for you that perhaps I've labored over you in vain. He's not saying I'm afraid you're not a Christian. Oh, no, he's called them brothers. He knows who they are. He just called them sons of God. He says, I'm afraid that I labored over you in vain, that you're going to miss out because you've gone, you're as a child of God, but you're living like a slave. He didn't want them to waste their lives in legalism. He wanted them to have rewards when they stood before Christ. He wanted them to live what we call the abundant Christian life, not the legalistic Christian life. They're not living as they should. They're living as minors. They're living as slaves rather than full-grown sons of God. So today, they're people. They trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. And then they put themselves under law and legalism to either prove they're saved or stay saved. I had a person talk to me the other day, and he said, well, what happens is you trust in Christ, but you can't really know if you're saved or not until you look at your life. I said, well, how long do you look at your life? Like, is it a month, 2 months, 5 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years? He said, well, no, you have to live righteously. You have to produce fruit, and when you produce fruit, you can probably know you're saved. I said, you said probably know you're saved. He said, well, yeah, that's right. I said, that is right. Because, see, you can probably think you're saved right now, but you don't know what's going to happen to you 10 years down the road. You don't know if you're going to keep living for Jesus. And if living for Jesus proves you're saved, you can never know if you're saved. But the Bible says these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you can know that you have eternal life. We don't look to lifestyle to determine salvation. We look to the fact that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and we go back to His promise and guarantee that whoever believes in me will never perish but have everlasting life. That's what we look to, not our lifestyle, to prove we're saved or to stay saved. We are saved, and we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see more of it as we continue through the book of Galatians. He's going to talk more about that. Well, let me give you a couple of things real quick as we end. Number one, understand what unbelievers are like. They're dead in trespasses and sins. They are dead people walking. One of my favorite movies was The Sixth Sense. You remember that? Sixth Sense had that little boy who could see dead people. And he said, "I see dead people." And he said, "Really?" He said, "They don't know that they're dead." We're in a world full of dead people, and they don't know they're dead. They're spiritually dead. They're walking around this world dead in trespasses and sins. And let me tell you what they have. They have a body, and they have a soul that relates to the world around them. They have a conscience to tell them right from wrong, and they have a flesh. That's what they have. They're dead in trespasses and sins. They're unable to know and understand God. They're under bondage and laws and works. Understand the change that happens when one trusts Jesus Christ as Savior. We have a body, soul, conscious, flesh, but now we're spiritually alive. We have a human spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The law showed us we're sinners and need a Savior. The law and legalism is not the basis of the Christian life. Number three, don't live the Christian life under law and legalism, but under grace and freedom. There are people that you will come in contact with this next week that believe that they must do good works in order to stay saved or prove that they're saved. And they can never know. And they've put themselves under a legalistic system. And Paul would say to them, "You're a full-grown son of God. Why would you go back to that?" Listen, remember the Christian life? Is a walk of faith. Galatians 2:20, he says, "I've been crucified with Christ, and no longer I live, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." That's Galatians 2:20. So let me ask you a question, and we're going to get into a lot more details on Christian life in chapters 5 and 6, but here's some questions. Look at your life. Is it law or grace? Is it works or faith? Is it legalism or freedom? Is it the power of the flesh of the power of the Holy Spirit? My prayer is we understand the change, that we trust Christ, we have eternal life, we're saved and saved forever, and we live as full-grown sons of God, as new creations in Christ, not as slaves under bondage, but as children of God.